Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy for me. As you guys are turning there, to give you guys some insight what's happening a little bit today. What we're doing this morning, we'll do Devos. If I have not given you your video skit stuff, make sure you get that for me. This year, we're doing videos as normal. Each of you will get a theme. And then there are two things that every church has to have in their video this year, and that is, one, something created by Legos, with Legos, so something made out of Legos. And then the other thing is something from the message, and then you have to follow your theme, whatever it would be. So that is on Sunday night, I believe, that we'll be playing that video. So you guys will get plenty of free time in order to do that, so make sure you get together and do that whenever you can. So, but we've started kind of a new chapter with Snow Trip. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but I do not look like Mark Myers. I'm not the tall, bald guy. And so, and Dave Fox isn't here either. They retired last year from Snow Trip, sad face, but we're really grateful for the 25 years that they put into this. And so me and Jeremy and Alex, we were handed this, which is fantastic. What a wonderful ministry to be handed. And so we're continuing to do it. So because of that, we're doing Devos this weekend. I'm starting, and Alex and Jeremy will do it the following mornings. We're going to tell you guys a little bit about ourselves, our testimony, and that way you guys can get to know us a little bit as well. So I grew up in a town called Warrenton, Missouri. It is an hour west of St. Louis. I don't know why you'd go there, so I don't even know why I told you where it's at. It's a smaller town. It's growing, but I grew up in the time where it was like not a lot of people were there, and so I grew up on a dead end road out in the middle of nowhere. If you got to my house, you were probably lost, and you were terrified because you hit a dead-end road on 3 miles of gravel in the middle of nowhere. So most of the time we had, one time we had two girls drive in their car, and they ended up at my house at 1 a.m, and my dad came out, and if you've ever seen my dad, he's, burly, beard, stocky. And he came out fired up because he didn't know who was out there. And these girls just come out, "I'm so sorry, I don't know why we've been out here." And so they're just crying, so distraught. He's like, "You guys are good. Here's how you get out." You know, so that's where I grew up. And because it was a small town, if you've ever been in a small town, everybody knows everybody. Everybody kind of has an awareness of what's happening in the town. So this is the whole thing that I kind of grew up in, the culture. Because of that, when my parents got saved later in life, they grew up very, very rough lives, drugs, alcohol, and they wanted to save us from that. But then at that point, they also raised us to be good people. So they got saved at a church that believed you could lose your salvation. Therefore, I was taught that I could lose my salvation. Now, I don't believe that now. I believe once saved, always saved. Jesus Christ loves you, and he won't take off the table what he's put on there. So, I grew up, though, with a mentality that I could lose my salvation. So, what I did was, all the time, I would try to please you. The only recollection that I had of God, because I couldn't really know if God was happy with me or not. The best way that I could gauge that is how people viewed me. So if you viewed me as good, I was good. I felt like that then God had a good handle on me. So what I started to do is I did everything to the best of my ability. I was a good kid. I was in church. We went to church all the time, Sunday morning, Sunday evening. We did Tuesday Bible study, Wednesday night. We did a Friday Bible study at my house. And this was when I was little, so this is what I'm watching. And as I'm growing up, I'm trying to be good. Well, the hard part is You can't always be good. We're going to fail sometimes. So I didn't want anybody to know that I was failing. So what I ended up doing was then I had to cover myself. So then the lies started happening. And I would start telling people that I did things that I really didn't do, and then I would tell people I didn't do things that I really did do. And it got to the point where in fifth grade, I specifically remember my fifth grade teacher went to our church, and she stood up in the middle of the church as they were asking for just testimonies and stories, and she stood up and she goes, "I'm so proud of little Jason." And I was little. I was like 3 foot nothing. I was small. "I'm so proud of little Jason. I know that he tells me the truth every time I ask him. I can go to him. If I need something verified, I can go to him because he's going to be honest with me." She said this in front of the entire church. And I'm sitting there going, I got these people fooled. I knew it. At fifth grade, I knew that I had people fooled. That's what I was thinking. I didn't feel any conviction at that point because I'd been doing it for a while. But at that point, I was like, I'm good at this. Isn't that amazing? It's just how twisted my brain started becoming because of sin. So then life goes on, and I'm living this life, and we ended up changing churches. And we started going to another church, and that first year I was in that youth group, going in eighth grade, we went to Kansas City, to church camp, summer camp. And I was really excited to go. I'd never been to church camp, so I didn't know what it looked like. And that very first night we get there, we have this huge rally. All these churches are there. Worship's great. And then the pastor gets up there. His name was Troy Covey. And he said, "You know what? I feel like, how many of you guys in here?" He asked this question. "How many of you guys in here have ever, like, grew up in church?" And so many hands went up. My hand went up. And then he started telling his story of how he struggled with works and how he struggled with the opinions of others. And then he read the verse in Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. And I stand by this verse. "For by grace you have been saved. This is not of your own doing. This is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." And we've heard this verse. If you've grown up in church, you've heard this verse probably a million times. It's the first time I had ever heard it. And I realized at that point, oh no, I'm not saved. Oh no, I've been trying to earn this thing. And he continued to say this in those words. And he goes through Romans, all of sin and falls short of the glory of God. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And he said at that point, he goes, "If this is you, and you've been trying to earn this thing, let's change that." And so he had an invitation, and I got up from my seat and I ran down to the front. I was so stoked to get this thing done. I was so happy that I no longer had to earn it, and that the weight of works would be off my shoulders. And I ran up there and I prayed with this other pastor, and then afterwards I waited. He finished his message, and afterwards I walked up to him and I said, I go, "Thank you for saying that." And he goes, "No, praise God. That's his message, not mine." And at that point, it even more solidified that everything I do has to be for his glory, not my own. Now, I still struggle with this. I want you to know that. Like, just because I got saved didn't mean that everything just was like flittered away and I no longer deal with this works-based salvation stuff. Like, it's a struggle. And sometimes when someone's mad at me, it's hard on me. It's really hard on me. But I have to go back to that verse. "For by grace I have been saved." This weekend, I don't know where you're at spiritually. What I do know is that camps like this give us an opportunity to check ourselves with God. Just like that camp was for me back in the day. And this is what I do know. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, It says this: all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. This is what I do know. The speaker in the next sessions, and Alex and Jeremy for Devos, are going to bring work. They're going to talk about this, the Bible. And now, through this, you have an opportunity this weekend to have some time with you and God to go, how am I doing in this Christian walk? Is it legit? Am I actually saved? Is this something I need to work on and figure out? Or, I am saved, but I'm kind of coasting this Christian life, and I want to get better. I want to be more like Christ. As Christ says, be perfect as I am perfect. We have a charge to be more like Christ. And so how are you doing in that? And I encourage you, as you listen to these messages, that you would this weekend find one of your leaders. Talk to them. Maybe something God's working on, something in your heart. Talk to them. Get it out there. Let's process this stuff. Let's get better with God, with one another, through one another. That's why we do weekends like this. And so I highly encourage you to do that. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that you are sovereign. We thank you that you are in control. And we thank you for our salvation. God, we know what you want to work on in all of our lives, and we know that you have something that you want us to work on. And so, Father, I pray that you would bring that in the forefront of our minds, make us aware, soften our hearts, and, Father, start working on us. Use this weekend, God, for us to become more like you, and we thank you for that. We love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before you get up, 9 o'clock is breakfast, okay? Then after breakfast, we will announce when you guys should come back up here. We're going to do an icebreaker and a game before the first session, okay? So on your schedules, it should say 9 o'clock breakfast, 10 o'clock session. We're going to do 9 o'clock breakfast and then do the icebreaker game, and then we'll do the session. So that way you guys, as you're looking at the schedule, you know what's going on, all right? You guys are dismissed. Find a table to sit at, and then we will announce who the scrapers and runners are later. Thank you. Yeah, you'll get those in session one. Oh.